Other than gambling, one pastime that defines Las Vegas culture is drinking. During the Rat Pack era, a drink in the hand was as much part of Dean and Frank's uniform as the tuxedo. But is Las Vegas' reputation as a drinking town deserved? What do statistics say about it? Well, today we have a panel to talk about drinking in Las Vegas, but we would like to hear from you, too. What's your take on the drinking culture in Las Vegas? Do we have a problem, or is it the same place as any other city? Give us a call at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. And joining us first is Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Officer Carl Tomaso. Carl, welcome to KNPR.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Officer Tomaso, I want to give listeners some Vegas-related statistics, and you are a traffic cop. I'll just abbreviate that way. And what can you tell us about the number of DWIs so far this year, and maybe how it compares with the last year?
Sure. So year-to-date, we've made over 3,600 DUI arrests. Compared to last year at this date, that's 3,900. So we're roughly down about 7%. But one number that did stick out to me when I was reviewing some of the numbers was we're averaging about 333 DUI arrests a month. And what's alarming is that doesn't include some of our law enforcement partners like the Nevada Highway Patrol, Henderson Police Department, North Las Vegas School Police, Park Police, who are also making large amounts of DUI arrests.
Now, your jurisdiction is the entire county, but is there one particular place or area where it's more concentrated?
When it comes to the DUI arrests, no, it is really valley-wide. It's a valley-wide problem. We could break down where maybe our fatal traffic collisions are occurring, where a DUI component is involved with that fatal traffic mm-hmm. crash. We have some area commands that are hit a little bit harder than other parts of the valley. But no, the DUI problem is valley-wide.
How much of it is from state drivers, local drivers, versus tourists, do you think?
Well, we don't tabulate that for the purposes of for statistics. There is a box, obviously, when you make a DUI arrest if it's an out-of-state driver. But it is a little tough to calculate based on the fact that we are transient, that people will come to Las Vegas and maybe not change over their driver's license status or, you know, get Nevada residency within the 30 days that they're required by law.
As a police officer, obviously, we're in the holiday season, I guess, from Thanksgiving through New Year's. Is it worse around this time of year?
Statistically, no, surprisingly. And the reason I say that is if we go back to 2016, all compared to the month of December, we had more DUI arrests in January, February, May, and September. Las Vegas hosts some pretty big events, some very big back-to-back type weekends where there's a lot of drinking and driving. So although we look at maybe December as some of the holiday festivities, there's going to be more drinking involved. The numbers say no.
So since you have the perspective of a traffic cop in Las Vegas, I really want to get your take on the drinking culture in this city. I mean, give me your just general opinion about it.
I think sometimes people don't make that decision on how they're going to get home after a night of drinking until they're there. And I think if you're going to meet with friends and you're going to, hey, let's go out for some cocktails, let's go have some drinks, but you haven't made the plan to how are you going to get home, I think that's a little bit of where our problem lies.
Do you think Lyft, Uber, ride-sharing things, have you noticed, because I've really been wondering about this, have they helped?
The ride-sharing platforms are great. I mean, we highly recommend them. But again, when it comes to the numbers, statistically, we haven't seen less DUI arrests being made because of the taxi cabs, Ubers, and Lyfts.
Now, traffic cops also have what I think is one of the grisliest positions out there. You guys get there after a crash. I wonder what the impact of working this job has been on you personally. How has it affected maybe your own going out and drinking habits or you know, what you do?
Sure. Well, actually, I just spent the last 6.5 years in Metro's fatal detail. So I've had the opportunity to see how DUI affects families and many, many people from the night a traffic crash or the day of a traffic crash, you have a fatal involved, all the way to when a DUI defendant is sentenced. So you see the whole transition. How has it affected me personally? When I drink, I stay at home, quite honestly. Just making the arrangements to not drink and drive prior to going out.
Makes sense. We're talking about drinking in Southern Nevada and the northern parts of the state. A data-driven story by the Wall Street Journal recently said Reno is the state's drunkest city. What do you think? Is Las Vegas, is Nevada a drinking state? Please give us a call at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. And now joining us is Lisa Townsend Rogers. She has written about bars and restaurants in Las Vegas for Vegas 7, Desert Companion, Esquire, and New York Magazine. Lisa, welcome to Cape Barren. Looks like you have a bit of a cold.
Yeah, the cold that's going around. And of course, as soon as you go on the radio and you're like, don't cough. Of course, all you want to do is cough, but I think I'll be okay. Thank you.
Well, your information is valuable to us. So you write about a lot of different bars and restaurants here in Las Vegas. What's your sense? What's your sense about the drinking culture here?
Well, I mean, one thing you've got to remember is, you know, we do also have this tourist population, and I think we in New Orleans are the only cities where people literally like, I will go there and drink. Like, as an event, not as a sideline. You know, we peddle bottle service, all of that. But I don't really know that we're that much worse than other cities proportionally. I mean, we're up there, but as has been said, Reno tends to beat us. Actually, I just from a casual glance, it seems like we might be a little bit lower than the rest of the state. Not by much. But I mean,
why? I mean, you're local here. I mean, what's the general feeling among locals in drinking here?
Well, it depends. Part of it is that it's open 24 hours, so people can get a drink at any time. Also, we're a 24-hour shift city, so, you know, it's not like in another city where if you got off work, say, at 2 a.m. or 5 a.m., you couldn't go and get a post-shift beer. You can do that here. You know, so I think that it might be part of it, but as far as people who live here, you know, there is a fair amount of cocktailing, but there is also the awareness of DUIs. I know a lot of people who use Lyfts. So I don't really know that we're that much worse than other cities, although, you know, we do tend to put it away.
So you think the reputation here, because you know, most of us are not from here. I'm sure people wherever you're from say, God, it's, you know, you're just getting drunk all the time or it's just crazy there. But you don't think the reputation, we live up to that reputation?
Well, again, it's hard to separate our reputation as a drinking destination for people who don't live here versus the drinking of people who do live here. So I think a lot of the promotion of drinking is geared towards tourists. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of local. I mean, there are local specials, but I don't think there's as much of a. I think that's part of the reason why we have that reputation is because we put it out there to bring people in to drink.
Now, regarding, by the way, that Wall Street Journal online site 24/7, they named again Reno as Nevada's drunkest city, and they used data from the CDC on binge drinking, heavy drinking, and alcohol-related deaths. And they had one statistic that said in 2015, about 18 in every 100,000 Reno residents died from causes related to alcohol. That kind of surprised me, but does that surprise you, Lisa?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 18 out of 1,000. That's
out of 100,000.
Oh, out of 100,000. Okay. I was like, 18 out of 1,000. Why haven't they sent, like, the army in to fix this? But, I mean, that does seem like a rather high number. But also, then you have to think, what are we qualified? Kidney ailments, DUIs, like blood pressure issues you could get from drinking, falls. Like, I suppose if you put all those things in, you know, and then there could be other contributing factors. People who drink a lot tend to smoke a lot. We are the heaviest smoking city in Nevada. I found that out. So,
hard charging forward on that one.
Yeah, yeah. We've got one vice that we can claim number one.
I also wonder this. You know, I'm sure people in the hospitality industry. And as observer of bars and restaurants, and you write about it, do you think those people, bartenders, servers, distributors, are more susceptible to becoming problem drinkers? Do you see it?
I mean, yeah, that's distinctly possible. And, you know, I've seen people who, you know, they just walk to the other side of the bar and, you know, which people will do for one drink. But then, you know, if you're still there 6 hours after your shift ends, you might want to think about that. But I mean, I also, you know, I also know a number of people who work in the industry who, you know, don't drink, don't partake. And that may be because they've had issues or just because they're tired of looking at drunks or just it's not their thing. But, you know, there is a somewhat higher percentage within the service industry.
And Carl Tommaso from Las Vegas Metro as a traffic cop. Do you think our laws contribute to some of the drinking issues? For instance, Nevada and Louisiana are the only two states that allow where you can buy alcohol 24/7. What's your take, just anecdotally, on how that affects things here?
I do think it's a little bit lax, especially on the back end when they're going through the criminal justice system. I think the fines are relatively low. There's not the punishment for a first-time misdemeanor DUI arrest just doesn't have a lot of teeth. You know, you have to attend a victim impact panel, such as a MAD program. You have to stay out of trouble, unless you're looking at about $1,000 in fines. But unless your blood alcohol content was 0.18 or above, where a judge would now mandate you for an interlock device, that's about what you're going to get for your first misdemeanor DUI arrest.
So at 0.18 or above, is the fine significantly higher than 1,000?
No, we don't have we're not like Arizona where they have a DUI extreme depending on what your BAC is. And when I go over these toxicology results, it's very common to see the 0.25s, the 0.30s. And these are people that were stopped without being involved in a crash. This is a vehicle driving down Charleston. We just had a fatal crash here Saturday night. I wonder why the driver of the vehicle left the scene. Was it DUI related? We may not know. I just think that our punishment does lack a little bit of the teeth.
We're talking about the drinking culture here in Las Vegas. Do we have more of an alcohol problem than other cities? Some of our panelists don't think we do, or do you think the image that's promoted here for tourists paints us wrongfully? Give us a call at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can tweet us at KNPR News, and you can also email us at son@knpr.org. And joining us from Las Vegas, Patricia, welcome to the program. Patricia, go ahead. Patricia, are you there? Okay, Patricia. Well, also joining us from Las Vegas is Sergio. Sergio, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Good morning.
Sure, go ahead.
I just want to make a comment about, the topic. You know, I think it's taking a big effect, you know, on the citizens, you know. Las Vegas, at least for myself, it does, because my insurance on my personal car is, it went in the last 5 years from $118 to $180. Mm. And every time that goes up, and I ask my insurance company why it's gone up, why I'm getting charged more and more, the excuse or the reason I get from them is because all the accidents related to alcohol.
Right. Not your accidents, just other people in general.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So, you know, I think, insurance companies are taking advantage of this problem, you know, this culture, you know, in Las Vegas, you know.
I tend to agree, and I see a lot of people here on our panel nodding their heads. The insurance is very heavy here, very costly. And Sergio, thank you for making that point. We're talking about the drinking culture here in Las Vegas. Do we have more of a problem than other cities? Our panels think we might just be like other cities, and that the image that's promoted here really doesn't do justice for the locals who live here. But please give us a call at 702-258-3552 give us your opinion. Or you can email us at son@knpr.org. Joining us now is Patricia from Las Vegas. Patricia, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Great. Okay, good. I am a senior citizen. Mm-hmm. And I get the ARP magazine, which is for seniors, and they can join. It has great articles in it for education and information. And October's issue, for those who subscribe to ARP, has a page, or at least half a page, on alcohol abuse throughout the United States and increases? Which age group? They did it by age group. And the age group that has shown the greatest increase are the senior citizens compared to other age groups. And this is based on research from National Institute of Drug Abuse, Alcohol Abuse. That's government, national government, and the American Journal of Psychiatry. So this is based on evidence. And I think we should be concerned in Las Vegas because we attract retirees. We attract them. And I didn't know, I honestly did not know seniors were at risk or has shown an increase. So I just present that to you.
Thank you for the call, Patricia. I want to ask that of Carl Tommaso, who is with Las Vegas' Metropolitan Police Department's Traffic Division. Carl, do you see that a lot? Are seniors, older people, the cause of a lot of DUI crashes that you see?
Not necessarily. It really... I've seen quite the range from juvenile offenders all the way to our senior citizens. So I don't think it's one specific age group or profile of a person. DUI really does just affect so many people, but the offenders are really across the board different as well.
Joining us now from Madison is Blyer. Blyer, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. When I'm away, I always listen to my local station, so that's why I'm away. We're listening to you right now.
Okay.
I moved to Las Vegas about 4 years ago, and I was never really a big drinker. If I had one drink a month, that would have been a lot. I always preferred cannabis. But when I did move to Las Vegas, just in social situations, because we would go out a lot, the bars are open all the time with my partner and his friends, I did find myself drinking more, not a lot, but more than I usually would. So the atmosphere or the culture did influence me in some way to have more drinks. But once cannabis became legal, I prefer cannabis. I went more back to cannabis, and I really don't drink that much or gamble at all. So it definitely does influence, because it's such a deep part of the culture to have a drink if other people are drinking. So yeah. I just wanted to make that comment, and I'll take your comments offline.
Hold on a second, Blyer. You're from Wisconsin, which is a drinking state. No, go ahead.
Oh, God, yeah. 330 here is called Beer 30. This is a very heavily drinking state. I'm working in Wisconsin right now on a project, but I live in Las Vegas.
Okay, I got you there. Okay, well, yeah. I have somebody here who can address that. Jamie Ross is the executive director of the PACT Coalition, which is a substance abuse prevention nonprofit associated with the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health. Jamie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jamie, what about Blyer's comments sort of resonated with you?
Two things. One, what he was talking about with when he was out with other people who drank, it influenced him to drink as well. We call that social norming. And that's definitely something that we see. If the people that you hang out with don't drink at all, don't use any substance, then you're much less likely to do so. Very rarely do people who don't show addictive behavior go and have 3 or 4 drinks alone at their house at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Right.
And then the other thing that I noticed was anytime you talk about multiple addictive substances, you increase one addictive substance, you often increase the other, which is why casinos often will still have vending machines for cigarettes, which nobody else that I know of has, is because the cigarette increases the need to gamble, and that's why you get the free booze. And so one addictive substance will increase the need for other addictive substances.
So does Las Vegas normalize sort of addictive drinking behaviors?
I think, I'm going to parrot what Lisa said, that we're fairly on average with what our numbers say, but with the social norms, it feels as if when you come to Las Vegas, you do that specifically to drink, and it is the social norm is that everybody is doing it, when we know that that's not actually true. We're about where everyone else is, but it feels like everyone is drinking.
Also joining us in the studio is David Marlin. He's an addictionologist and the CEO of Solutions Recovery. David, welcome to KNPR.
Thanks for having me.
So, David, you come from the treatment side of this, and I'm wondering, this is a question a lot of people have asked me over the years, if the imagery that people see every day in Las Vegas, you know, not even in marketing, but we see tourists walking up and down the strip with drinks in hand. I wonder if that's a sort of subliminal promotion of drinking for locals.
I've lived in Las Vegas for 30 years, and there's certainly a drinking, partying culture here. You know, they call it Sin City. However, statistically, when you look at the numbers, we're very similar to most other metropolitan areas. Running a drug and alcohol treatment center here, we don't see a higher percentage of alcoholics here in Las Vegas. What I do see is a higher acuity. When I talk to my friends...
What's that mean?
People who drink a fifth in other places, that your typical patient, you know, here, you know, they'll drink a quart or they'll drink more than that. I frequently have people who are taking pills who are taking 50, 60, 70 pills a day, while my partners in other treatment centers don't see as much of an acuity.
You're an alcoholic and have been sober for about 12 years. Is living in a city like Las Vegas hard for alcoholics recovering to live in?
I am in recovery, and I believe that a geographic solution to the problem of alcoholism is not an appropriate response. There's a strong recovery community here in Las Vegas, and it doesn't hinder my recovery personally. I would say I understand that in early recovery, a lot of the triggers and the culture here could be challenging.
We're talking about the drinking culture in Las Vegas. Do we have more of an alcoholic or alcohol problem than other cities? Our panelists don't seem to think so, although statistically we may have similar numbers, but perhaps, as David Marlin just mentioned, we do it with more intensity or acuity. We'd love to get your opinion. What do you see out there? Do you think we're a partying culture? Do we drink more than the state that you came from? Give us a call at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Joining us from Las Vegas is Ben. Ben, welcome to the program. Hello, Ben, are you there? Ben, welcome to the program. Sorry, Ben, we couldn't get to you, but we do have another caller, Veronica from Las Vegas. Veronica, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you actually asked a question that sort of leads into what I was saying, or what I wanted to talk about. I'm actually sort of transplant. I came out to UNLV for school, so I'm a college student, and I came from Texas. So the drinking culture is very different. We don't sell like vodka at CVS at like 9 a.m. That's a very weird situation for me when I came out here and sort of getting used to that. But I found from being here and going to school with people who have lived here for a very long time, it doesn't really feel like the drinking culture is all that much different from what I used to in Texas, because it almost seems like because it's so accessible, people are very jaded about it. But every time I have someone visit me from Texas, like come out to see me, the assumption is I'm going to take them out drinking and then we're going to be out really late partying. And honestly, that was never me to begin with. So I'm like, why do you think that would change out here? So it's almost like the assumption is coming from the outside, though I would agree that when I do decide to drink, it does feel like I drink a little more than I used to in Texas.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. Thank you for that comment, Veronica. Real briefly, I want to go back to the age of drinkers. Jamie Ross, as executive director of the PAT Coalition. What about young people who drink? Do we have numbers, or do we know if we are generally higher in alcohol use by non-adults than other cities or states?
So we do have a little bit higher in the age of first drink. One of the questions that's asked is, did you have your first drink before age 13? And we're just a little bit higher than the national average on that, with I'm sorry, I don't have the statistic. I believe it's about 15% have had a drink before the age of 13. And one thing we do know that the earlier anyone uses any addictive substance, the more likely they are to become addicted at a later age. Our youth in Clark County who've ever tried a drink is 64, and the people who currently drink, and these are high schoolers, are at about 30%, 15% binge drink. And what binge drinking is classified as is more than, if you're a man, more than 5 alcoholic drinks in one sitting. If you're a woman, more than 4 alcoholic drinks in one sitting. And that's not 4 Long Island iced teas. That's 4 1.5 ounces of 80 proof liquor. And I like to say that because people will say, well, I had 4 Long Island iced teas. That's 4 drinks. I'm like, no, that's like 12.
Gosh, that's like everybody I know. Is it worse with or is it similar with older people?
Yes. What we have seen is the highest binge drinking is that 25 to 34-year-old range. But right after that is the AARP generation, that over 50. They actually have the second and third highest binge drinking rate.
So I want to go back to one thing you said about younger drinkers. All right, when my son was 13, maybe under 13, we let him have a few sips of wine. And, you know, just a few sips, and he, you know, got really loopy. But so, I mean, since then, as far as I know, you know, kids can do stuff, but I haven't seen him drinking. So is he, because of that, or I'm sure some people are thinking that, is he in danger now of becoming, you know, a big drinker?
It's... You know, there's so many factors that that play into addiction. I don't think that a couple of sips of wine with mom and dad is going to put him down the path at where he'll be, you know, visiting Dave Marlin's treatment center in another 10 years. That's definitely not what I think. But what we do know is that the earlier children start experimenting and using drugs, the higher likelihood they are to become addicted later on in life.
Here's another question related to that. A lot of people here gamble. You'll go to a bar and people will just be sitting hitting that button for hours on end. Is there research to show that gambling problems lead to higher alcohol use?
I haven't seen any statistics to back that up, but what I do know for we have about the same number of people who gamble in Nevada that other states do, but we have a much higher rate of addiction for gambling than other states do. So there's definitely a higher proclivity for that. And like I said, there's a reason that if you put $20 in the machine, you get a free drink, because the one addiction will feed the other, and we know that they do go hand in hand.
And David Marlin, do you have any anecdotal or statistical information about maybe the connection between gambling and drinking?
We recognize that there's over a 90% cross addiction. When someone calls us and says they have a gambling problem, we usually want to sit down with them to do an assessment to determine that they're not harmful meth use that they just do on the side, or they're drinking, which is well managed according to their perception, and ends up being part of the factor as well. So the cross addiction, as Jamie mentioned, they usually go together.
David Marlin, you're the CEO with Solutions Recovery, and there are a growing number of addiction help programs in Las Vegas and Nevada, but you, to get help with your drinking, you went out of Las Vegas. Why?
I had worked at a healthcare company here in town, and I went to a good friend of mine, and I asked him for some recommendations. He gave me 3 recommendations, which at the time all happened to be out of state. When I came back, I ended up founding Solutions Recovery because Las Vegas didn't have a name brand, a professional drug and alcohol treatment center that I would want to go to. I looked around at my family and friends, and I recognized that I could have a thriving business if I opened an alcohol and drug treatment center.
Is it indeed thriving? I mean, is there a spigot of people who need assistance?
Sadly, we are very busy. We are growing dramatically. I'm adding beds. And, you know, we do help thousands of people.
When it comes to prevention, I wonder if Jamie Ross, you can explain the concept of social norms and how that plays into prevention programming.
Absolutely, especially with youth before their brains are fully developed. If everyone else is doing it, you know, the old question that we all, that every mother in the world asked is, if your friends jumped off of a bridge, would you follow them? And so the idea of social norms that youth are much more likely to use if they believe that others are using as well. And it doesn't matter, we're not, this isn't just addictive substances. They're much more likely to study hard and get A's if they think that everyone else in the world is also studying hard and getting A's. So the social norms of the community play very much into what youth think is acceptable. So when you're talking about the culture of drinking in Las Vegas, because, and every single person in this room can attest, that there is definitely a feeling that everybody is drinking in Las Vegas, it makes the social norm, it makes you think that it is more acceptable to drink.
Carl Tommaso, you're with Metro, you're a traffic cop, and as we mentioned earlier, you see the aftermath of a lot of horrific crashes, some of them related to drinking. Do you think punishments, penalties for offenders, DUI offenders, should be stricter?
I do, but in the same breath, I don't think we can arrest our way out of this problem of DUI. You know, we're out there putting out the public service announcements through radio, TV, print, and social media. We're constantly going to high schools. We're involved with every 15 minutes program. We're trying to get to the youth in the teenage, high school age, at an early age, to explain to them about the consequences of DUI. But it really is going to take all of us to get through it.
Lisa Rogers Townsend, you look at it from the viewpoint of somebody who writes about the bar culture. Do you think harsher penalties would alleviate lead to some prevention of some issues related to DUIs?
It might, but also remember, no one thinks they're going to get caught. No one goes out and goes, well, if I get a DUI, it won't be that bad, so I'm just going to get one. So while it might give some people more misgivings, other people, you know, if you are going to get into a car drunk, you already are making a bad decision and think you're kind of foolishly invincible. So I don't know how much it would help, but it might.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up here. Carl Tommaso, a traffic officer with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Lisa Townsend Rogers, a writer with Vegas 7. David Marlin, Solutions Recovery. And Jamie Ross, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is State of Nevada.